I'm Paul Etvin, one of two pastors here at Submerge, and today we're going to be taking a look at young David's character. Of course, we know he went through some issues later in life. There was a time when kings go off to war, and what did he do? He stayed back, and then that opened up a whole can of worms, didn't it? And it all started with him not going off to battle when he should have. Isn't that interesting? You know, so today we're talking about, you know, the exciting story that all of us know, like, yeah, he fought Goliath, you know, just the fearlessness, the courageousness that he had. But then later in life, like, the scripture doesn't really tell us why he didn't go. It's just like, I'm just not going to go out to battle. But I think that speaks volumes to us. You know, how many of us are in a state of life right now, maybe when we were younger, just like a lot more passionate about the Lord, zealous, just being active in the community, sharing the gospel with people, etc. And then as we get older, we're kind of like, I don't really feel like going out to battle today or this season. And that can open up so many things when God's got plans for us to be out, you know, fighting for him. Of course, we don't fight with the weapons of this world. He gives us spiritual weapons. And so I just want to encourage you all with that and myself with that. And even like that song that we sang, hey, the battle belongs to the Lord, but he wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And I just encourage us, especially as these days continue to grow darker. You know, last week, something really sad happened actually. There was a bully that accused me and a bunch of my friends of being a terrorist. It was very hurtful. Some of you guys, it's kind of satire. Some of you guys might know what I'm talking about, but it just went to show me you know what? There is a huge war waging in this nation. There is divisiveness intentionally being pushed forward from the people who think they're in control. We, of course, know that God's in control. And I think we have some difficult days coming. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I'm not. And if you're new here, I'm sorry. I'm not one of those pastors that just says, "Yep, love everybody and be kind and let's go home and God is love and la di da." That's not the kind of, you know, I'm going to say some hard things that we need to hear. But we have rough times coming, Christians. Rough. I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, open your eyes. There's many difficult things coming, which is why we need to be encouraging each other. We need to be sticking together. We need to be like-minded, unified, because there is an enemy out there. His name is Satan, who is very rampant and becoming very successful at causing divisiveness, even in the church. And as one of our great presidents said, a house divided against itself cannot stand, you know, which from scripture. So I just encourage you guys, we are in a battle. We're going to talk about what David did to be successful in his battle, and I hope that encourages all of us with being equipped and encouraged and empowered to be fighting this battle together. And I've got to say, I mean, looking out at some of the people in the crowd here, I couldn't be more blessed and privileged and humbled to be with you in this very hour, this very time in history, and working together to build God's kingdom. Just about everybody here has just impacted my life amazingly. So thank you. And I'm honored to fight alongside with you. So here we go. The big idea, what I do matters. Who I am matters much more. What I do matters. Who I am matters much more. And I'm going to explain what that means as we come along here. So first slide here. So David was highly differentiated. I know that's a big word, but David was highly differentiated, choosing how he wanted to behave without being controlled by the approval or disapproval of others. I think you have that statement in your bulletin notes. Yep. He had a solid sense of who he was and who he wasn't in the midst of great trials and pressures. So if you didn't figure out the definition of differentiated from the context there, it basically means you are sure of who you are and you don't let outside influences change that, okay? And it's not an act of pride or arrogance. It's just knowing, okay, I'm Paul Letvin. Here's my capabilities. I'm a son of God. I'm a warrior for God. God's love is enough for me. God's grace is enough for me. All my sins have been forgiven. He wants to use me. Here's some of my strengths. Here's some of my limitations, and we need to know that and be comfortable with it. And when there's outside forces that are trying to alter and change that, you're like, No. You know what? What's one of the biggest attacks that Satan uses? He wants us to doubt what God said. Remember last week I talked about there's only two kinds of people. There's God has said people, and then there's and then has God said? That's the other kind of people. You know, they're always doubting. Okay. The other thing that Satan tries to do is he tries to help us forget our identity, to lose our identity. What did he say to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, who does Satan think he is? You're talking to Jesus here. You think Jesus is going to fall for that? But Jesus was 40 days without eating. He was in the flesh, and I bet that comment had an impact on him. Jesus was probably kind of like, man, God, this is hard, you know, as he was getting ready for his ministry. And Satan does the same thing to us. He tries to get us to forget who you are. You're not really a warrior for the Lord. You're just a little peon. You just go sit over here. You got a free ticket to heaven. Just take it easy. You know, he tries to get us to forget our identity. But David had a solid sense of who he was and who he wasn't in the midst of great trials and pressures. So let's go through these character qualities. Really fascinating that we can pull out of scripture. Number one, David was disciplined, responsible, and obedient. Disciplined, responsible, and obedient. Just like all of my children all the time. Or at least that's what we're teaching them. That's right, hon? We're teaching them to be disciplined, responsible, obedient. And every day is a challenge, but we're making good progress. But it's work. David was disciplined, responsible, and obedient. 1 Samuel 17:20. And David rose early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper, and took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And then verse 22. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. Now, this is really important because this sets up the stage for what's going to happen a little bit later, but it's important for us to realize he was carrying out a command of his father. Jesse said, take these provisions, bring them to your brothers. So he was being obedient. He had responsibilities that had to be taken care of. So he didn't just leave the flock by themselves. He found a keeper. So he made sure that someone was fulfilling his duties in his absence. So it's important that we're aware of that. So he was disciplined, responsible, and obedient. Okay. So these are things now, and as I'm going through each of these character qualities, we need to be thinking to ourselves, okay, if I want to be God's man, God's woman, engaged in what he's doing, being a part of building his kingdom, these are the things that I need to be equipping myself with so that I'm ready to be used by him. I mean, is there anybody here, raise your hand please, that doesn't want to stand before God someday and hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Is there anyone that doesn't want to hear that? Like, you did a terrible job. Go start mopping the streets of gold, or whatever, you know. Of course we all want to know that we did everything we could for God. So these are things we need to start clothing ourselves with. Number two, David was attentive. He was attentive. That was something I prayed, at the beginning, that we would have attentive ears. And so, a lot of you guys know that, Pastor Bob, my co-pastor, he taught me Sunday school starting as a 9-year-old boy. And much of my spiritual habits and development is a result of his teaching and influence in my life. And I still remember one of the lessons he gave us in Sunday school. We learned a lesson on attentiveness, and he brought in a picture of a deer. And he said, okay, when deer are walking out in the woods and then they hear something, what do? They stop, their ears go up. That's what attentiveness is. Like we are still and we're listening. And that memory is still burned into my mind. David was attentive. 1 Samuel 17:23. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. Okay? So David stopped and listened. He's like, okay, what is this challenge? What is this opposition that we have? My question to each of us here, are we being attentive to the opposition that is fighting to destroy God's people and God's kingdom in this day and age. And for me, you know, and this could be done in so many ways, but we need to be aware of the attacks that are coming on Christianity, okay? With the CRT, with the LGBT movement. I hope you guys know, like the trans movement, that's an attack on the image of God. You know, it says in Genesis 1, he created them male and female. You know, anything outside of that, it's an attack on God's image, you know, all of it. And there's, you know, and I'm not pinpointing the LGBT community. Everyone's got their own sins. There's many kinds of sexual sins, et cetera, et cetera. But that group in particular, even in the words of Dr. Joseph Bodarenko, who was in a Russian gulag for years, said, yeah, that spirit is here, and it's attacking the family. It's attacking the image of God. So we need to know what we're up against with the Marxism that's being spread, the communism. All of it is anti-God. It's anti the foundations of America, and there's an agenda that's trying to destroy us, that's trying to destroy our nation, that's trying to destroy the church. So we need to be attentive. We don't want to be consumed with that. It's easy for me, like reading through news stories, like, oh my goodness, look what they're doing now. Like, they want to add a Z onto the LGBT, you know, just all this stuff that's just appalling. And so we need to be encouraging ourselves with the word first and foremost. But I believe, Pastor Bob believes, you know, who are we fighting against? And that's what David was doing here. You know, he's like, okay, who is this person? He was attentive. Okay, number three, David was protective of his God. David was protective of his God. 1 Samuel 17:26. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Are we protective of our God? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are we preserving the holiness of God's name? And there, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, there are numerous forces that we are fighting against in our culture right now that are anti-God. They're mocking God. I've even stood next to people doing sidewalk ministry in front of the abortion facility who have signs with fake verses on them, you know, that they're just completely, apparently they didn't read the verse that says, if anyone adds to these words of God, so shall the judgment be added unto you. Anyone who takes away from these words of God, blessings will be taken. You know, that's a serious thing, people. When people are, and there's been many times where I've been praying and I've said, God, don't you see these proud people fighting against you, defaming your name? And I pray out loud. I sing worship songs that his name might be made holy. Are we protective of our God like David was? Number four, it should bother us. You know, when people are, and like, I don't know about you guys, but man, when I hear someone use like the name of Jesus Christ in vain, oh, that just sends chills down my spine. It really bothers me. So, sometimes I will say, oh, you know Jesus, you know, and then all of a sudden they're like, you know, and it usually they're, you know, they're convicted. They're convicted. Number four, David was an encouragement to others and was himself courageous. David was an encouragement to others and was himself courageous. 1 Samuel 17:32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Wow, what a great guy. You know, and he's like pretty young at this point. He probably talking to these other soldiers that are very well experienced, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And look at what he says. Just amazing. You know, are we doing that with our wives, with our children? I need to do a better job, and we're working on this. But, you know, as you guys know, I keep up on the news, and I see all this terrifying stuff and talk to some of it about, you know, to my wife and sometimes to my kids. And I need to be more encouraging. Like, okay, yeah, there's lots of crazy stuff going on, but how can I empower my wife? How can I empower my kids? You're like, you know what? God's in control. And so I've been focusing on that more when we're praying, like, thank you, Lord, that you are the ruler over all. Thank you that you sit on the throne. You're going to take care of our needs. And we need to encourage each other, not living in la-la land, pretending that we don't live in a fallen world, because we do, but we need to keep things positive, encouraging, and being courageous ourselves. And I'm preaching that to myself the most out of all these points this morning. I need to encourage others more. Number five, David was confident. David was confident in his relationship and training with the Lord. He was confident in his relationship and training with the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears," not tigers, "lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." There he goes, being protective of our God again. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I mean, he probably had to be pretty confident and convincing, right, for the king to be like, "Okay, go ahead and fight. You sound like you know what you're doing, so have fun." You know, but there's so much in here. You know, first of all, you know, how is he so confident? I mean, he knows the Lord is on his side. How is he so confident? You know, and he's more concerned about maintaining and protecting the name of his God than he is about the chance that he might fail. He's like, "I'm not going to let this go on." You know, he's defying the armies of the living God. And that gave him confidence. And of course, past experiences. So another question for us to think about, you know, how has God delivered for us in the past? You know, one of the most frequently listed commands in the Bible is remember, do not forget, you know, because we are forgetful people. And it's so easy for us, isn't it? We get in some kind of circumstance, oh, that's so overwhelming. And then we easily forget other times earlier in life when God came through hugely for us and answered prayers that we thought were impossible. So it's so important for us to remember these stories, tell our kids about it. You know, something else that Haley and I try to do, it's like, yeah, God did this for Dad when he was 15 years old, had a hard situation and got, you know, so we need to remind ourselves of how God has delivered us in the past and take that to give us confidence in the future when we're facing difficult times. Number six, David was honoring of the Lord, giving God the credit. So not only did he want to protect the name of God and keep it holy, he also gave the credit to God, honoring the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, 45, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.'" Wow. Just like we sang, the battle belongs to the Lord. So, did David just stand there and let Goliath attack him? No, he went, and we're going to get to that. So, but he acknowledged, okay, this battle is the Lord's. He's the one that gets the credit. We need to honor God every time he delivers us or comes through for us. Okay, and then number seven, David was fearless. David was fearless. 1 Samuel 17, 48 through 49. "When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground." The Jesus Storybook Bible, the narrator, "Goliath fell down dead." Oh, I love it. It's David Suchet narrates the Jesus Storybook Bible. I don't know if you guys are familiar with David Suchet. He played Poirot in the PBS series for a number of years. Just really cool guy. And I believe he's a born-again Christian in real life. And but yeah, he narrates the whole Jesus Storybook Bible. It's amazing. But yeah, so as I'm going through these verses, I'm hearing David Suchet in my head. I apologize. But David was fearless. Look, you know, it didn't say, oh yeah, he stood back and waited for Goliath. You know, it's like, no, he ran. He ran. He's like, all right, I'll show you. You know, like just absolutely fearless. Where does that come from? You know, from the Lord. You know, What can man do to me? You know, what can man do to me? 366 verses in the Bible talk about not fearing or do not be afraid. Richard Wurmbrand memorized every single one of them, one for every day of the year, including a leap day on leap year, 366. When he was kidnapped, February 29th, 1948, off the streets of Bucharest, Romania, and the Securitate threw him into the back of the car, had a bag over his head. He asked one question, what day is it? And they laughed. Why do you want to know that? Just, well, what day is it? Well, it's February 29th, he said. And then he quoted Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And then started his very long 12 to 13 year prison sentence in and out of solitary confinement and all, but that's another story. Do not be afraid. David was fearless. All right, and lastly, number 8, David lived out his true self in spite of the accusations. David lived out his true self in spite of the accusations, messages, and pressures that he received from others. He lived out his true self. First there, his brother, Eliab, falsely accused him. Now remember from the beginning how I said it's important we remember this. David was carrying out his father Jesse's command to go to the battle lines to bring food and supplies to his brothers. Okay, he was obeying. Well, look at what Eliab says here. 1 Samuel 17:28-30. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down?" Apparently he hadn't eaten any of the food yet. "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Eliab, he did find a keeper for the, you know, it was another, you know, false accusation. "I know," and here we just have "I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. So look at that. Even in spite of Eliab accusing him of these things, which was just wicked, he was obeying his father. He did leave someone to take care of the sheep. You know, listen to all the, you know, you see the jealousy just coming out and just making these false accusations against him. And then he says, "What have I done now?" But then he just goes right on and he keeps talking to other people, you know, in verse 30. So it was just like water off a duck's back. He didn't let it affect him. He didn't let it affect him, those false accusations. Because he knew that he had pure motives in being there. King Saul doubted his ability due to his age and tried to mold him into the ways of a trained warrior. Okay? So that's another thing that happened to David in 1 Samuel 17:33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth." So this is what Saul first said to David, okay? But then here we see in verses 38 and 39, I think we read these verses already. Yep, Saul clothed David with the armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail, and David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Here's a question for each of us. What might it look like for you, for me, to take off armor that you are currently wearing that does not fit you? Let that sink in. What might it look like for you to take off armor that you are currently wearing that does not fit you? Think about it in this context. Saul was trying to force something on David that just wasn't him. You know, he wasn't used to this armor. It wasn't within his current skills and abilities. But did he wear it anyway just to please Saul? And like, okay. And then he probably would have lost had he gone out there with all that armor on, right? He wasn't used to it. So he took it off. What armor are we wearing that perhaps needs to be taken off because it doesn't fit us? Trying to be someone or something that we're not outside of our abilities. Something to think about. And then lastly, Goliath insulted him and threatened him. Goliath insulted him and threatened him. Starting in verse 42 here of 1 Samuel 17. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. Probably thinking, who's this pretty boy coming out to fight me? You know. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Wow. I don't know. How did he have that kind of confidence after just being insulted by this literally a giant? Now, if you guys know, and there's different debates about this, but from the research I've done, this is what I would tend to believe, is that, you know, Goliath was six cubits tall and one span. So that's basically 9 feet, 9 inches. That's how tall this guy was, 9 feet, 9 inches. Okay. That would have been terrifying to be standing up there and having him. So how was he so confident and able to come right back? Well, he was differentiated. He had spent so much time with God out in the wilderness. We read that in the Psalms, you know, all these prayers that, I mean, he knew God. God knew him. He knew what it meant to abide in his presence, just continually being in the presence of God. That's like, nothing's going to stop me. I've got the God of the universe on my side. You know, when we ask ourselves, man, would I have that kind of confidence? Guess what? You could, if we are taking that time to have a passionate zeal for our God like David did. And it takes time. We've got to be reading our Bibles daily. We've got to be praying. We've got to be sitting in silence before him and just enjoying his presence. And just so that anything that comes our way, it's like, all right, no big deal. God's my provider. He's my friend. He's going to take care of me. That's obviously much easier said than done. One more little reference here. This didn't make the screen, but I just wanted to point it out. So this is how, you know, this is the Bible. This is how intense it was. But in verse 50 of 1 Samuel 17, so 1 Samuel 17, 50. So remember Goliath's threat. He's like, yeah, I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. And well, here's what David did. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Wow. Wow. Intense, isn't it? But David had the Lord on his side. He knew this was of God to take out this heathen Philistine cursing him. Now, here is a little quote from the Jesus Storybook Bible. I'm going to wrap up with this. Many years later, okay, so imagine, okay, so we just heard that Goliath has been defeated. Many years later, God would send his people another young hero to fight for them and to save them. But this hero would fight the greatest battle the world has ever known. Of course, that's a reference to Jesus. And if we have the eyes to see, Jesus is all over the Old Testament, everywhere. It all points to him. In fact, the curriculum the Sunday school kids are going to be going through starting next week, they're going through all these stories and then how do each of them connect back to Jesus. Really excited for that. So the story of David is a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus because, now listen to this. Before he did anything though, talking about Jesus, before Jesus did anything, God said, with him, I am well pleased, right? Matthew 3:17, I believe. Remember, a voice came down from heaven, with him, I am well pleased. This was before Jesus even started his ministry. He hadn't even really done anything publicly yet, okay? But then God said, with him, I am well pleased. The great I am was pleased with who Jesus is, not what he did and does. And the same is of you and me. God delights in us because of who we are as his children. And I even tested my kids on this the other day. I think I went up to Josiah and James. I said, Josiah, what Why does dad love you? You know what he said? Because I'm yours. We have a book called, it's called Just Because You're Mine. And it's about, actually Sally Lloyd-Jones, the author of the Jesus Storybook Bible, also wrote that book. It's called Just Because You're Mine. And it's about Little Red Squirrel and his papa. And Little Red Squirrel does all these things to try to impress his dad. Oh, I'm good at finding berries. I can jump so high. I can spin around, you know. And is this why you love me, Daddy? And every time he says, nope. He's like, that's very good that you can do that, but that's not why I love you. And you know, at the very end, he says, I love you just because you're mine. We need to communicate that to our kids, to our spouse, and that's God's heart for us. I love you just because you're mine. So what I do matters. Does God want us to fight for him, to help him in building his kingdom? Absolutely. Does he delight when we obey his commands and our salt and light in our community and active and all these things? Yes, but who I am matters much more. So that's really the biggest battle we are fighting here today, Christians. We need to think of ourselves as God's children, if indeed you are in Christ. And I'll just tell you right now, if you've ever heard a preacher say, we're all God's children, it's not true. It's not true. Jesus, it says in John, and here's why. Jesus, in John 1:12, it says, And to those who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When you are born, you are not automatically a child of God. You are born in the image of God. Every single person you look at, even wicked politicians, they're made in God's image. And because of that, every human deserves respect, decency, because we're all image bearers, okay? But you don't become a child of God until you accept Jesus as your Savior, until you believe what he did and receive him as your Savior. Even Jesus said to the religious leaders, you sons of Satan. Well, are the Pharisees children of God just because they were born? Nope, he called them sons of Satan. You can't be a son of Satan and a son of God. So we need to remember that. So God is pleased with us because we are his children. So that's my question to you. Are you a child of God? Have you made that decision to give your life to him? We're about to share in the Lord's Supper here as Jesus commanded us. But for those of us in Christ that have made Jesus our Savior, that's what it's all about. To remind us of the great price that was paid so that we could become children of God, so that we could have eternal life. That's why we partake in the Lord's Supper, an opportunity to be reverent before the Lord, to thank Jesus for the great price that was paid, the great sacrifice, so that we can have a relationship with the Lord. So if you've never done that before, I'm actually going to pray right now to close this, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never have prayed to receive Christ, I'll pray kind of an example of what you could pray. You could pray that with me right now, or you sometime later this afternoon could do that in your own words. But the big idea once again from today, what I do matters, but who I am matters much more. Please pray with me before we partake in the Lord's Supper. Father, we're so grateful to be in your presence this morning. Oh Lord, I pray that we would be more like this young David was, just so confident in you, so fearless. He didn't let anyone else sway him from what he knew you wanted him to do and who you wanted him to be. And Lord, thank you that even if David hadn't gone out and slayed Goliath that day, you still would have been delighted in him as your son and loved him. And Lord, I pray that we would cling to that promise that you love us because we're your children when we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. And Lord, I pray that out of that identity, as we think of ourselves as children of God, as saints of God, as warriors for God, that out of that identity, that all the things would just come naturally. That those good works would just come naturally out of a healthy, authentic faith in you. That we wouldn't even have to think or try. Man, what's the next good thing I should do? It'll just be part of what we're doing because of our unity with you, Lord. Just teach us to be more like you today. Lord, I just pray right now, if anyone has not accepted your son as their Savior, man, what a great day for salvation today, right now. So Lord, we just pray, Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross for our sins. We believe that your death paid that penalty that we should have had to pay, but you did it, Lord. We believe that you died on the cross We believe that you rose again, conquering death. And Lord, we choose to put our faith in you today, to make you our Lord, to make you our Savior. Lord, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins so that we can have a relationship with you and with the Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.